Hello, dear saints. One might ask, what is glory? Simple answer is that which is praiseworthy. In John 17:24, Jesus prays that his own might be with him where he is, that they might see his glory, which was given him before the world was. Wonderful thought. What a wonderful prayer. The Lord desires his own to be with him and see God in a more perfect and excellent way. Why? That the creatures he created might do what he created them for, which we can already begin here on earth and continue that glory, praise, and honor in heaven above. In the lectures and studies, we trust that our eyes of faith might continue to be open to behold, that our praise and worship might continue to redound to the glory of God the Father. In the next half hour or so, we'll be turned over to Brother Hadley Hall, who by the Spirit's leading will open to us the eternal God of glory as expressed in creation. So at this moment, Brother Hadley.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Very good morning to everyone. And we trust that the Spirit of God will be free to really work with us, work on us, as we seek to enjoy somewhat of what he gives concerning God, the God of glory. There are, as we may very well notice, so many different uses of the word glory. Mm-hmm. We talk about people who are sportsmen, and we talk about how glorious their activity, their expression of their sport is. When it comes to even the ones we call the stars of this earth, and again, the use of the expression star helps us to think of glory in relation to their ability to portray what they are not. But when we come to glory, perhaps the very basic description, and I thank Brother Mike for what he has shared, a very basic description of the word glory and the concept of glory is that it is the display of the qualities that distinguish someone. The display of qualities that distinguish is someone. When we look then at the question of the glory of God, I dare say, brethren, we are getting into waters to swim in. This is not something that we do lightly. And right away, we are going to do a little bit of a PowerPoint presentation, which I trust will help us to get to appreciate this matter of glory. I trust, brethren, that I know what I'm doing. And is everyone seeing my screen?
Not yet. You can share your screen. You go ahead.
Let me just see if I know what to do.
Just going to share screen on the bottom green. Got it. You got it.
I got it. Thank you very much. We're going to try to follow this direction that we get with this PowerPoint presentation. But first of all, let us read the Word of God. And the first scripture is from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And now we turn to the same chapter in verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, 19 of the book of the Psalms, Psalm 19 and verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1 to verse 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And we read from verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given it to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians.
Excuse me, Brother Hardy, you need to move the slides. We only see the original slide.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're reading from verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another kind of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For star differeth from star in glory. Finally, the last scripture I'll read at this time is Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, and we read from verse 18. Moses is speaking, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I will take mine hand away, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. The glory of the Lord. We were saying that it is the display of qualities that distinguish someone. But when we talk about the glory of the Lord, we have to realize that there's an effect of seeing his glory. When Moses was seeing the burning bush, he looked at it and said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when he heard the voice of God, he said, it says there, he was afraid, he hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Brethren, when we come to the question of the glory of God, there is a reverence that is demanded of every one of us. Moses was afraid to look upon God. Ezekiel, when he saw the glory of God, he fell on his face. And Daniel, when he saw the glory of the man that appeared before him, he also fell on his face. And one thing that is noticeable in the three of these men, that when they saw the glory of God, all that marked them as according to the flesh, rent was put aside because of the glory that was exposed, the qualities that were shown to them that distinguished the one who was speaking. Daniel said his flesh became corruption. And may we, as we sit today under the word of God, recognize that the flesh has no place before God, has never placed before God, and that we would, by the eye of faith, just see what God is showing to us, that the effect of seeing his glory might be very much in evidence. The communicator of the glory of God. And this we find in Psalm 19, verse 1 to 3. Before the presence, before the Lord Jesus came into this world, and even now that he has come and returned, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, the skies show his handiwork. I heard a story, I'm not sure from whom I heard it, but it was, I believe the persons, all the possible persons are past, so I cannot verify which one said it. But this I remember. They said there were two very brilliant scientists, and everyone was praising them up. And the one said to the other, come, I want to show you something. And they went into a field in the night and lay on their backs and looked up at the stars and started to speak about what they thought they knew about the stars. And then they finished by saying, the one who made them is glory than all of them, is greater than all of them. So now that we have realized how small we are, let us go home. Brethren, not only do we need to receive this recognition that he who made the firmament, that declares his glory, that speaks of him, he is greater than all that he has made. There is a tract that speaks about a scientist who did not believe in the God of creation. And there was another one who did believe, and he made a facsimile of the solar system in which we are found, the earth and the planets. And he got the mechanism so correct that he got them revolving around this representation of the sun. And he invited the atheist scientists to see it. The atheist said, who made this? Nobody. It just happened, said the first scientist, the originator of it. So no. You cannot think that I'm an idiot. Somebody had to make this. So nope, nobody made it. It just came together as it stands. He says, you expect me, a scientist, to believe that nobody made this? He said, well, if you can believe that nobody made the planets and the stars, you should be able to believe that nobody made this. See, brethren, the glory that the heavens speak of tells us of one who is far greater than all that those things. In Psalm 19, we read, the heavens declare the glory of God. But in Genesis 1, we learn, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God was at work. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And those very heavens and the firmament that he has made tells us of his glory. But one of the things that has always struck me about Genesis 1, verse 1, it says there, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens, all that is in the universe, is simply described as the heavens. And that is put in counterpoint to the earth. What is the Spirit of God saying in these? And I dare say, brethren, there is a challenge for us to realize that when God made the heavens and made the earth in this little solar system, in the Milky Way galaxy, among all the far-flung galaxies of this universe, he had in mind man.
not just man, but the man of his choice. So the heavens are put in contradistinction. All of them, the rest of the planets of the solar system, are put in contradistinction to the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What was he displaying? In that creation, in the beginning, God was speaking. And he was speaking so that we may hear his voice and realize something of his glory. The glory of his grace, later on we will learn it. The glory of his love, we will learn all of these things. But he was telling us the extent of the universe cannot be compared with what I am going to input on this earth for my glory. The glory of God displayed. The heavens declare that glory. And I'm no scientist, but I tell you something that boggles the mind. I was told that when it comes to the earth is a part of a solar system around a star, which is we call the sun. And it's held together there by a gravitational put by God himself. But our star and our solar system is only a part of the many galaxies that make up the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is a small part, a small set of a number of galaxies in the in the number of galaxies that are about. And here, brethren, the scientists talk in numbers of billions and trillions. And that leaves me speechless. But then he says there are billions, trillions of galaxies in this universe. And God displays his glory. If we could just look up in the night sky and realize that every star we see up there twinkling and the ones we cannot see is the sun, the center of a solar system or the pivot of a solar system with planets and so forth. Every star. We're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about one who speaks and it comes into existence. He calls things that are not as though they were, calling them out of nothing. And in that creation, he gives man a special place whose planet on which he lives cannot be seen with the naked eye as these can be seen. What a God we are dealing with. The wonders of God's glory is seen in his creation. So much so that the apostle in writing about it, he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 and 20, what is known of God is manifest already unto them. For God has manifested it to them. How? For from the creation, the world's creation, the invisible things, what cannot be seen of him, that is his excellence, are perceived, being apprehended in the mind by the things which are made, which are his, by the things that are made, his eternal power and Godhead glory. The word, the expression that is said, the things that are made, is the word used is the poem, his poem. And his poem, for the Greeks, a poem was a masterpiece. And his masterpiece is gives the unveiling of his glory as creator. This is the God, beloved brethren, that we are speaking about. And in that masterpiece, he shows us this. We want to also recognize, in that masterpiece, he shows us the source and power and purpose of creation, but we also recognize that he has another masterpiece, which I believe our dear brother Alfred Bowder will take up when he speaks. But this masterpiece, the source and power and purpose of creation, we are told there in Romans 11:36 and in Colossians 1 and 16, and also in Revelation 4 and 11, that this masterpiece tells us they were created by him. That is the origin of the thought. The origin of the work is his. They were created for him. That is his pleasure and his enjoyment was found in their creation. And they were created again by him. And this time his power is what is used. So the source of it, he is the source of it. He is the power that maintains it and sustains it, and it's for his pleasure. But in here, brethren, we want to look at what was created. Angelic hosts. And we read in the Psalms, the angels excel in strength. We read in that there are in Ezekiel, that there, this one was perfect, was perfection was known in him until, of course, he became too proud for himself. We then read there's material creation, and we've seen everything that has been made. There are planets and stars, all made of some of combustible material, some because of this, they're shining out of their own power. The material creation, Genesis 1 tells us about, and 1 Corinthians 15, as we read, that these things are made by him. But also there's the animal creation. And in that, we learn again that these things were made by him. And I want just to look at two thoughts in this. One, all flesh is not the same flesh. This is important to recognize. There's the flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fish, another of bird. There goes the foolishness of evolution up in smoke. There's flesh of men, and that flesh of men does not become flesh of beasts, nor beasts become flesh of men. Flesh of men, flesh of beasts, flesh of the fish, and flesh of birds. There are celestial bodies. Here we're talking about the material creation, and terrestrial bodies. Also, we talk about angelic hosts, and the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There are no intermingling of these glories, of the displays of their qualities. And then he says, there's one glory of the sun, a glory of the moon, a glory of the stars. Star differeth from star in glory. When I first came to this country in which we are living, I was told that every snowflake is different. They're all hexagonal, but they're all different. And I mean, after seeing the first snowfall, I'm saying, wow, impossible. No, it is possible. And what is impossible for man even to conceive, God is able to do. So when he says star differs from star in glory, and we know there are billions and trillions of them, the glory of God causes us to bow. To recognize that he has not only that power to do it, but he has the capacity to sustain it. He has the capacity to think it into being, to speak it into being. But great as they are, beloved brethren, and I have to hurry, great as they are, humanity, the crown of God's creation. When God said, let there be, and it was so, we read, and it was good. But when everything was done, and he brought in man into his creation, he said, very good. Very good. Why? Because man, he crowned him with glory and honor, according to Psalm 5. And although Hebrews 2, 7 is pointing to the Lord Jesus, he said he crowned man with glory and honor. But also, there was a plan that he had for man to make God's name excellent in all the earth. And so man was the crown of his creation. But man failed. And here's where we come, brethren, to the challenge for our hearts. The desire of man, desire of humanity, is glory. When the woman saw that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, to give man distinction, to cause man to see himself, to give him glory. She took up the tree and she ate of it. Her desire for distinction clouded out God and brought herself to her focus. In the chapter before, we read the man and his wife, they were naked, but they were not ashamed because their eyes were not on themselves. Their eyes were on God. Their eyes were focused on God. They didn't look at themselves. But now, here she is tempted, she's beguiled to look at herself, a tree to be desired to make one wise, a desire for glory. And it brought sin into this world and clouded up the glory of God. Moses knew that this was something that was needed by all of us. And he said, "Show me thy glory." And God said to him, "You will not see my face. No man can see my face and live. But I'll make my back parts for you to be seen." The back parts of God's glory, if I may so say, talk about what was available in the Old Testament. But the only way now that any man, anyone can see and appreciate the glory of God is through the work which the Lord Jesus Christ has done. God's provision for all men. For the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared. And this one, through him, as the prophet says, God will give grace and glory. The grace must be seen first. The grace must be received first in order to see the glory of God. That grace and mercy of God that brings salvation has to be received, dear brethren, before we can see by faith the glory of God. And we have an example of this in the man Stephen. Stephen began, he says, the God of glory spoke to Abraham, our father. But when Stephen came to the end of his discourse, he says, "I see the heavens open and see the glory of God and Jesus Christ." That is all that needs to be mentioned at this point. That we can only see the glory of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Says the apostle in 2 Corinthians, to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Dear brethren, as we embark on these studies, I dare say that what if you do not know the Lord Jesus and you're here, you need that grace that brings salvation before you can get to the glory. Because it's always grace and glory, never glory and grace. Grace and glory. You need to have that your heart touched by the grace of God in order to see the glory of God. And that glory, we will tell you, and our dear brother Alfred will, I'm sure, expand on this. That glory is only seen in the face of Jesus Christ. It is only open to faith. And may we, as we sit and study and read the Word of God, allow the Spirit of God to show us the things concerning Christ, may we lay hold on this truth. It is His grace that will bring us glory. The one who brought grace will bring glory. May He help us today, and may we enjoy by the Spirit of God what He gives of His glory in the face of Jesus Christ for His name's sake. Amen.
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 Amen.